I'm Trent Norris, fund manager at Sterling Capital.
And this is Michelle Nipko. I'm the podcast host, and welcome to the One Trade Podcast. Hi, Trent. Another interesting week on the markets. It was certainly a negative end of the week with the S&P down 2.4% between Thursday and Friday. And the continued comments from Bullard didn't help. He said, we're more risked now than we've been in a generation that this could get out of control. He said that during a panel talk at Columbia University. Comments like this, which I actually think are pretty accurate, but you know what? They add to the uncertainty of the markets, and that results into what we saw on Thursday and Friday. What is your take on last week, Trent? And I just can't wait to hear your trade of the week in this environment.
Well, another week in the same old stuff again, Michelle. I don't know who needs to hear this, but Roku hasn't fallen from $500 to 100 or 80% because of problems in Ukraine. Geopolitical events can trigger some short-term moves, but they are not the cause of a new trend. And, you know, if Cramer's awful stock picks all last year haven't glued you into the nonsense on CNBC, just know that blaming the current tech wreck on potential war is just complete BS. I know most of our listeners are smarter than this, so I'm just saying this because mainstream financial news can be so misleading, right? It's always, look here, don't look over there.
Right, yep.
Yeah, and for those of you who are really enjoying our podcasts and think we have, you know, pulse on the markets and like my strategy, feel free to shoot us an email. You know, if you're a U.S. accredited investor, we would love to do business with you. Our fund at Sterling Capital is not about wealth protection per se. It's about taking advantage of this wealth transfer that is coming. It's an aggressive fund, so it's not a substitute for investors' main portfolios in most cases, but I'd argue a necessary complement to it.
And our email is onetradepodcast@gmail.com. Also reach us on Twitter. Trent is at TrentNorris13, and I'm at Michelle_Nipko, and I'm going to put all these in the show notes as well.
Thanks, Michelle. You know, I know a lot of financial advisors and money managers can't give their clients good answers to the markets currently because many got caught off guard and are wandering in the desert. A lot of these guys are more interested in their summer plans and their golf game, sadly. And I'm just going to say this straight up. I have never been more excited and cautiously confident in my approach. I have positioned my fund for a wealth transfer, similar to buying real estate in 2009 or tech stocks 10 years ago. Now, there's no certainties, and we'll see what happens. But the purpose of this podcast is to put everything on the table, and I'll either be a hero or I'll be a zero. Either way, I'll own it, so there's no hiding for me.
Trent, you know, I so agree. This is a time of change, and the playbook that's been working for the last several years, I don't think is going to work anymore. Right. I would argue money managers will stick to what has worked because that is what they've sold to their clients, and it's worked the past couple of years. Why change? You know, one thing I love about the markets is they don't lie. Someone can talk. We all know them, right? Somebody can talk and talk and talk. Like, and they sound like they know what they're talking about, but at the end of the day, show me the returns. It takes a lot of time, energy, and research to be nimble during these changing times, which I think you've done so fantastically, Trent.
Well, thank you. We've been talking about this shift in the market since the very first episode. It's been a clear move from overvalued sectors to undervalued sectors. The markets are moving from focusing on intangibles to tangibles. Real valuations, real earnings, and real things are where the money is flowing. I would highly recommend that listeners pull up a chart of a few of the hot cryptos from last year. Check out Cardano, Solana, and of course, Dogecoin. And I bring these three up because they're really the hot names last year. And they're trading at $50 to $100 billion market caps. These charts are completely wrecked now. And remember, cryptos are most correlated to tech stocks. And here's the thing, every asset class has its season. There is a time where we are going to want to get really aggressive buying tech and cryptos, but that season clearly is not now. Charts that went to the sky and are now busted usually require a lot of time and consolidating and basing until they are ready to run again. They just need time to build energy. Personally, I'm going to wait on investing in tech and cryptos in general until the wind is once again behind it. So sounds crazy, but the sector from an investment standpoint could completely fall out of favor if returns aren't good. I mean, just look at a one-year chart of the ARK ETF. And, right? So ARK just touched a new 52-week low on Friday. Roku, Shopify, and DraftKings were taken to the woodshed this past week. The NASDAQ, which is now 16% off its all-time highs, tumbled into what's called a death cross technical formation. And this is where the short-term 50-day moving average crosses below the longer-term 200-day moving average. And the trend is still bearish in the overall markets, but I caution that there can be incredible rallies to the upside, even in bear markets. We call them bear market rallies. And typically why this occurs is it's retail traders who keep buying the dips instead of selling the rips, and it's called sliding a slope of hope. So there's still a lot of optimism, right, in the markets, which is interesting. It tells me that there's going to be more downside to come.
For sure. It's a really good point, Trent. You know, it's difficult as a trader to determine when to buy the dip versus follow the trend. So some investors, like you're saying, will buy the dip causing a bounce. But looking at the overall current macroeconomics, there has to be a change in the structure of Fed capital from outflow of money and low interest rates to quantitative tightening. So the underlying assumptions we've been trading under over the last few years are significantly changing. So buying the dip that has been working over the last few years might not necessarily work like it has because of these changes.
Right, Michelle. And I don't know how many times I have to say this, but this environment is not December 2018 or March 2020. Those two times were when panic selling led to capitulation in the markets, and then the Fed rushed into the rescue. These were incredible buying opportunities, especially in high growth names, the tech names. Now the Fed can't rush in because they are already here and doing quantitative easing and at 0% rates now. So the Fed and Congress have already done so much that we have the highest inflation in the last 39 years. They have been straight up with the markets and telling them they are now pulling back. And this is why the markets are struggling. And I've heard recently on multiple podcasts that the Fed is going to get inflation down by allowing the markets to enter into a recession. Now I know this sounds crazy on the surface, but the way the Fed thinks they can control the markets, it wouldn't surprise me. It's easier to deal with deflation and recession because they have a printing press and a Congress that's willing to act if the sky is falling. So just a thought I personally found interesting this week.
Yeah, Trent, I agree. In my opinion, the Fed should put policies in place to assist in bringing growth back to the mean. Right? With the recent policies, they have essentially overstimulated the economy, as we can see in the high prices and inflation and food and gas and real estate. You know, real estate is such a great example. If you own it, fantastic. But if you don't, real estate might feel out of reach, right?
Oh,
for people
totally.
That are looking to be those first-time home buyers. I think the Fed will utilize their policies in any way they can to bring prices down to where they would be if their previous policies hadn't contributed to the overstimulation of prices.
Oh, that's well put, Michelle. So, all right. Well, you ready for the trade of the week?
I am ready for the trade of
all
the
right.
week.
So, hey, the trade of the week is going to be, get this, we're going to short Datadog. Ticker symbol DDOG.
It's my favorite.
Now, right now, people shorting this market are having a massive party. It's almost like shooting fish in a barrel in the hypergrowth tech names. And we all know these valuations were crazy last year, and now they are imploding.
Agreed. You know, it feels a bit like the end of the dot-com boom in the late 90s and early 2000s. So agree with you, Trent.
Right. There's some differences, but it's definitely a similar vibe. Generally speaking, a lot of easy money has already been made in shorting, and I wanted to introduce a shorting opportunity using put options for a few reasons. Number one, it's a great hedge in general for the one trade portfolio. Number two, the overall trend is bearish in the markets and specifically growth names. And number three, Datadog hasn't been eviscerated yet in this environment and is still trading at a forward price to sales ratio of 32 for this year. A 32 price to sales ratio is extremely rich in a rising interest rate environment.
Nice.
Now, Datadog is a top tier operator that posted great earnings and incredible growth. So us shorting this name has nothing to do with the quality of the company, but due to the extreme valuation and bearish looking chart. And the year over year growth that the analysts are projecting through December 2027 are not realistic to me in this new market environment.
I like it. Shorting Datadog. I think such a nice idea to think about what we can do in this environment. And I just think about putting trades on that we're betting it's going to go down. When the market goes down, you make money. So I do think it's a different way of thinking. Something I'd like to mention, Trent, as a quant trader, constantly looking at these trends. A trend I've been seeing the last 6 Thursdays, the S&P has been negative. That's consistent enough not to be random. So looking for some causality here, it could be because government release of macroeconomic trends tends to be on Wednesdays and Thursdays. The FOMC minutes and statements are both on Wednesdays. The PPI and CPI numbers, both measures of inflation, have been announced on Thursday mornings. And you know what? Lately, it's not been good news, right? I mean, they've always been released on those days, but we didn't pay much attention because nothing really happened. It didn't influence the market, where it is influencing it now. Something I use, I'd like to share with the listeners, a great resource is a website called forexfactory.com, and it has /calendar. I'm going to put that in the show notes. It has a really nice calendar. You can filter the events by currency and by the significance of impact. And it's saying how it's going to impact the US dollar. But what I've seen in my analytics, if it's impacting the dollar, it's also tending to impact the stock market as well. But that's just such a nice calendar. If you don't know what events are coming up that might impact the stock market, that's a good place to see it. So I'm going to be looking myself, and that's something I think about is timing of buying and selling, right? So, and for our portfolio, Trent, it's like, all right, what day are we going to short Datadog? Hey, you know what? Let's do it on a Thursday because the markets tend to be down as they have been the last 6 weeks. So just an interesting thing to think about. But also, if it's been down every Thursday the last 6 weeks, it means, guess what? The market's kind of going down.
Right. The trend things is are changing. Definitely going down. Right.
Yeah. So cool. All right. Well, I like that pick of the week, Trent. It's definitely a change. And I like this asymmetric trade, but then opposite direction. And like you said at the beginning of the podcast, people are making a lot of money shorting right now. They are.
A ton.
They are. And a lot of these big names have already gone down quite a bit. So I think it's smart of you to choose something that has potential to go down, but hasn't gone down very much yet.
Right. Yeah. Long way to fall.
Long way to fall. So, all right. Well, have a great trading week, Trent, and everybody, and let's all make some money.
All right, Michelle. All right, everyone, stay free.
Take care. Bye-bye. And that's the podcast. If you like the podcast and would like to hear more each week, don't forget to subscribe. And of course, we'd always appreciate a review. If you'd like to contact us to learn more about Sterling Capital or just to say hi, you can email us at onetradepodcast@gmail.com. Let's have a great trading week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye. And now for the required risk disclosure. The material in this podcast is presented solely for informational purposes and is not to be construed as solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any securities or any related financial instruments, nor should any of its content be taken as investment advice. One Trade Podcast accepts no liability whatsoever for any loss or damage of any kind arising out of all or any part of this material. We recommend you consult with a licensed and qualified professional before making any investment decision.